This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
I told you, Michael, a week ago that this was very good for the NBA to have the Knicks in the finals and ultimately win the championship. Well, the Knicks' 94-90 victory over the Spurs on Saturday night to ultimately win their first NBA title in 53 years averaged 24.5 million viewers on ABC and ESPN, making it the most watched Game 5 since 1998. The audience peaked at 33 million. And, I mean, this, like I said, man, this is huge and a weird year for the NBA. Started off with all the, you know, the Chauncey Billups scandal, all of that. And then more confusion from Adam Silver on the cup thing. And then flopping, I think, reached a peak this year as far as talk about it. Yet, they get their most watched Game 5 since 1998. So, big story for the NBA. Here's a good one for you, Mike. The parent company of Sam Adams said its Boston Tap Room ran out of the brand's flagship Boston Lager over the weekend because Scotland soccer fans in Boston for the 2026 World Cup drank four times as much as the bar usually sells. Boston Beer Company said in a news release that from Thursday to Sunday, the Tartan Army Scotland supporters organization drank four times what the company normally stocks during a typical four-day holiday stretch like the 4th of July or Independence Day, adding that it had to schedule an emergency delivery of beer Saturday morning and are adding extra deliveries this week to make sure it has enough. They have enough.
They drank enough alcohol to make me less of an alcoholic. I don't drink, but Scottish people are known for their desire to get hammered.
Bill DeCane of the Sam Adams Boston Tap Room told NBC Boston, "We've never seen anything like it." One Scottish fan said, "The White Bull Tavern, there was no beer." How did he say it? "There was no beer at the White Bull Tavern." Is that how he said it?
Probably. Freedom!
Yeah. Scottish fans just drank the place dry, and all they had was Bud Light. Paul Morris of the White Bull Tavern said, "We pretty much everything. We ran out of everything." it's a lot of beer. That's a lot of beer, but that is a tremendous story. That is tremendous. So Scottish fans drinking their fill for sure.
Yeah, that's one of the most alcohol loving countries out there. If it was Brazil, I'd be like, oh yeah, they like to party, but I don't think they get as drunk as. I think you're actually born drunk if you're Scottish. I'm of Scottish heritage, by the way.
Are you really? And you don't drink any beer?
No, I drink Mountain Dew.
Yep. Interest in the WNBA continues to increase, according to Kareem Copeland of ESPN. Starting in 2027, the WNBA will move to a 50-game season, up from the current 44-game schedule.
Can the NBA do that too?
Move up? You want them to add more games?
No, I mean move to 50. They have too many games. They got to get rid of like 12.
Well, if you say that about the NBA, you need to say that about the NHL. You got to be fair.
I agree. I also think the NHL has too many regular season games.
I think both leagues need to just drop 10 games.
Yeah.
I think they need to be at 72. I think WNBA 72 would
50,
be good.
That's fine.
50's
the
too
NBA
little.
Is too much.
50's too little for an NBA game. I like to have Nuggets on the television a couple times a week.
70 is about right.
72. The league also has the option to expand to 52 regular season games beginning in 2029. Commissioner Kathy Engelbert said in a statement, demand for the WNBA has never been greater, and expanding to a 50-game regular season reflects the extraordinary momentum we are seeking across the league. The move reflects our commitment to growing the game and creating more opportunities for fans to watch the best players in the world and experience the extraordinary talent and competition that define the WNBA.
I wonder why they're so popular the last 2 years.
It would seem that it would be Caitlin Clark. And that seems like that's a controversial statement.
Now, it's true.
To real WNBA fans, like, I think Faith is... Faith just watches sports. She just loves sports. But I think she watches WNBA. So for, like, real WNBA fans, they don't like that statement. That Caitlin Clark is the reason, probably, right? But also, I think Faith would acknowledge this. The growth of the casual fan has to be because of Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And other parts, like Angel Reese is a very popular figure, too.
She's just not good at layups.
She just has a lot of me bounce. She misses a lot, so she gets me bounce.
I don't know how you can miss a rebound. I think if you miss a rebound, that
doesn't
count as a foul.
She doesn't miss rebounds. She misses shots, which lead to me bounce. So she's rebounding her misses.
Yeah, yeah.
Cincinnati's coach is expecting a flood of queries from NFL teams on Brendan Sorsby. Scott Satterfield has already received plenty of questions from NFL teams about Brendan Sorsby, especially after his former quarterback transferred to Texas Tech and the information about Sorsby's gambling addiction became well known. He's going to get drafted, Mike. Because, I mean, he's going to get drafted.
I hope he gets drafted to a quarterback desert of a team, because he does not deserve to be drafted.
No, I teams will take a flyer out on this guy. I think there's going to be a team that will probably just take a chance, and it's kind of a blind auction type thing. They got to throw in a draft pick that they think he's worth, and if you're outbid essentially, then you just lose it. But you could also go too high.
There have only been like 70 players who have been the supplemental draft.
Not a lot. I don't think there's been one. There hasn't even been a supplemental draft since like
2019, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I never really paid much attention to it, honestly. Never really cared. But it's I think he'll get drafted. I really do.
I hope not.
I just think the whole thing is crazy. The whole thing. I mean, we've been exhausted. We've exhausted this story. We have. But it's crazy how the Big 12 actually won this battle. But Brendan Sorsby, you know, to stay in football is going to be very interesting. Very interesting.
I mean, he bet on his own team. Like, automatically, I don't want you drafted if that's you. If you're betting on your own team, if you're ruining the integrity of the game, if you're doing that, I don't want you drafted. I'm actively rooting against you.
Satterfield said that every NFL team had already asked him about Sorsby, especially early in the year when it seemed Sorsby might declare for the draft in April. Sorsby, of course, we know, chose to play his senior season at Texas Tech after signing a name, image, and likeness deal, which, by the way, he's keeping that money. So part of that conversation we had with Mark Johnson, Texas Tech has no plans of asking for any of the NIL money back. Probably gave him the money up front. My guess, this is not a proven story. My guess is that was discussed. It was like, man, Sorsby, we're in a battle here. We're in a battle. So help us out, because we probably aren't going to win this battle, clearly. And even though the Texas Attorney General sent this preemptive strike to the Big 12 saying you can't do anything, well, that was enough to actually kick things into high gear for the Big 12 to say, hey, we're talking about sanctions, okay? You might not play in the Big 12 championship if you make it. So your shot of going to the college football playoffs with this prized quarterback of yours is out the window.
I mean, this to me is kind of like the same as what happened to Windsor High School. Like this year, They played 11 games with a player that was ineligible.
Yeah.
And they had to forfeit all those. I believe it should have been the same thing with Texas Tech. You forfeit all those games, not necessarily in reality, but like you forfeit your right to go to any bowl game.
So should Cincinnati have, since he was betting on Indiana and Cincinnati games, should they forfeit? I mean, Indiana wasn't very good at that point when he was there, but should they forfeit?
In this case, no. If they knew about it, yes. But if they didn't know about it, no.
To my knowledge, they didn't know about it, but it's college sports. So very dirty. Very dirty business. So there's a chance. I'm not going to say no. So when people are saying, like, why isn't Cincinnati and Indiana getting raked over the coals when it's Texas Tech? We don't have proof, right, that they know. So you got to be careful. Like, we don't have proof. We have proof that Texas would have obviously known he was gambling on sports before playing a football game for them. Big Hub says, also, Sorsby's agent believes Cincinnati should be blamed because they knew about his addiction and said nothing. But did they know that? That's what I'm asking. Seriously, did Cincinnati know about Sorsby's addiction? If they did, then, yeah, they should be in trouble.
If they did, yeah, I'd say they got to forfeit some stuff. We both feel that going back in time and changing these games from a win or a loss to they didn't count is kind of stupid. But, I mean, this seriously, this affects the game. I don't know why people who are on Sorsby's side do not understand the difference between affecting the game and screwing yourself up in real life.
So I just Googled it. You know, we like to Google the robot here, AI. According to AI, the University of Cincinnati was notified of quarterback Brendan Sorsby's gambling activity as early as August 2025. However, the extent of what the school knew and when they knew has sparked controversy. So if they knew, then yeah, they're more guilty than Texas Tech. They should be in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. And I will be actively rooting against Cincinnati.
Yeah, Big Hub, you're 100% right, or at least on what the agent is saying. Yes, Cincinnati should be raked over the coals, just like Texas Tech is getting. Because in my mind, they're worse. Texas Tech was at least, even though it sounded odd, was at least saying, listen, man, we don't even know if he's going to play. He's got to go through all this first. And now they probably are going to let it be known that, hey, he wasn't going to play anyway. We just wanted to do right by him. Who knows? We'll never know now. We'll never know. 18 minutes after the hour, the U.S. Open about to kick off. We'll talk to our good friend from the Eaton Country Club, head golf pro Tom Hensel. Also, Derbs, the dude down the hall, and Tanner Schwint of Good Morning NoCo will join us as well. Any guesses where I'm going on my pick? Any guesses? Take a shot. We'll find out. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Good Morning NoCo has their eyes on the skies this summer. Hear Denver and Front Range Weather's Cody Wilson on the show for the latest local forecast on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're going to talk some golf here today. Tom's becoming one of us, man.
What was he doing?
Waved at Michael. He just turned around and waved at him back
Hello.
There. Tom Hensel joining us, head golf pro at the Eaton Country Club, the dude
Happy
down
June,
the hall.
17th.
Mikey, you. Tom, it's my birthday today.
It's Brady's 40th birthday, yes. And Micah will not say happy
He won't
birthday.
Acknowledge me.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Tom. That's what
birthday.
A normal person says.
It was my birthday yesterday.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you, man.
It was my birthday Sunday. Can we throw
well,
that
happy birthday to
happy,
you, man.
Happy Derbs 16th.
June. Derbs was a couple weeks ago, man. There's just birthdays all over.
All our parents
a lot
on
of
the
people
same
having
schedule.
Fun in September.
Yes. Yeah, I was trying to do the math there. Yes, thank you, Tom.
off. September would be the time. We got Tanner Schwent joining us there, and I don't think the beard's looking too bad.
It's
man.
Looking terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have needed the crisis line had they blown that game last night.
I thought they were going
that
to.
Or I was going to have a mental breakdown and just shave it off, and you guys, and just deal with the repercussions later. I am so sick of this.
That's cheating.
Yeah,
I'm. You know, to be honest, I didn't even think you were part of the bet.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Thank you.
Why do I Tate almost enjoy. Has the same amount of beard hairs.
Yeah, that's why he's not participating in it. It's because he'd embarrass me. My 18-month-old son would grow a better beard than I do.
So, Tom, every win that the Rockies get, I go and I pick a key Rockies player that that sported that number. So win number 28 was, of course, Nolan Arenado. Tanner had a big issue with that on X last night. So
yeah, why would you pick him? He's dead
he's
to us.
He's the greatest Rocky player of all time.
Todd Helt.
Well, yeah. Honestly,
Larry Walker.
But I just like to throw third best. Derbs?
Best third baseman of all time.
Best third baseman of all time.
Yeah. I hate him still, though. So I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. Okay?
Well,
don't use
it. It doesn't. I'm just throwing. Who? Give me a better number 28.
I don't know.
I mean, that's it. I can't. You got to pick the numbers there.
I have none.
Let's talk some U.S. golf. And so at the what hills, Tom?
Shinnecock Hills.
Easy. This is a family show, Tom. Be careful. Michael, be ready with the drop button back there.
I'll make sure to turn his mic off. No.
So let's get into it, fellas. Big storylines for you, Tom, looking at the U.S. Open.
Well, I think it's going to be pretty windy. That's what the forecast says. And historically, the greens have always been kind of a problem for some people there. They've been really, really fast, almost to the point of unplayable. There was a famous moment last time they had it there where Froome Mickelson putted it and then ran and sprinted and putted it again while it was moving so it wouldn't go completely off the green and like 30 yards down.
Disqualification, by the way, for those out there.
I was just getting ready to ask the question.
You
job,
cannot do that.
My job is to ask stupid questions that normal golf people would not ask you, Tom. So here's the stupid question. When you say the greens are fast, explain.
So picture going in your garage on a cement floor and rolling a golf ball.
It's going to be faster.
It's going to be faster.
Mm-hmm.
Picture rolling a golf ball on your yard.
Not as fast.
Not as fast.
So the shorter the grass, the faster it goes.
Correct.
So they do that by design. They want it to be that way. So that's how they take care of the course.
Correct. And it's way harder when the greens are faster than it is if they're slower.
Well, and as Tom was talking about that wind, I mean, you're going to see players have a hard time getting that ball marked when it lands on the green because that wind's going to be pushing it. And the slope of a lot of these greens is just ridiculous. So if it catches, like if you get, you know, miss a putt by, you know, 6 inches, normally, like, okay, it'll stop there and you'll just have a tap in. If it hits the right slope on these greens, that ball could end up in the bunker at that point. And it should be absolute carnage on the professional golfers.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of uncomfortable situations. Where in typical tournaments, you know, they're trying to, you know, make pars and birdies. A lot of this tournament's going to be coming down to just not making massive numbers. Don't make like what Tanner shoots on Thursday nights numbers.
There's just no need for that over here.
Why is it really as bad as you know, people have been saying it? There's a rumor going around.
It's been me. This
Tanner's
just been
really
saying.
Been bad.
I did see him hit balls on the range last week.
Yeah. That is an improvement.
That happened. It was.
I don't know if it was an actual improvement.
The score was 5 strokes better than the week before. So
that's pretty good.
A correlation. I think I'm now the second worst golfer in Northern Colorado, not the first. Improvement.
Michael might be.
So
for you guys as diehard golf fans, is this the fact that it's going to be windy, it's going to be kind of chaotic? Is that kind of more entertaining to you, or do you actually you want to see a perfect day where we get to see the guys at their best?
I always kind of want to watch them struggle a little bit.
Yeah,
and I think the average golfer kind of wants them to struggle too. Like, oh, I can make man, these guys are making bogeys and double bogeys. I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people like that. Whereas, like your average PGA Tour stop 22 under par is going to win. probably even par might win this one.
What did I see? The U.S. Open has been held at Shinnecock five times, and only three players have finished under par in those five times, which is just an insane stat. But, yeah, I mean, with the way that the wind, you know, that's what I've been reading a lot about. They're worried about the losing the golf course, which means that the conditions just get
like
so bad.
Like the wind would blow it away?
Yes, exactly.
Where is the golf course?
Man, it really did get windy.
It was just here.
Yes. Yep. No, they're worried about it becoming so difficult that they can't rein it back in. So a lot of times those greens get really fast. They'll spray water on it, try and slow it down. Some of that stuff. They're worried about these conditions. They wonder truly about how much golf they're going to be able to get in because yeah, I was seeing wind gusts of up to 50 miles an hour tomorrow afternoon.
Yep.
Wow. So could be brutal, but I love watching great golfers hit, you know, shots.
Well, it's kind of like you watch football. You like to watch snow games. It's just, it's not your typical football game.
Very similar.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the serious question, Tom. How easy will this be for Rory McIlroy to win this, obviously? Because I mean, I have a pick in mind, but haven't landed it yet.
About as easy as it was for him to win the Masters?
Ah, yeah. I finally got one. I finally got one wrong.
He won the Masters.
Well, oh, yeah, you win the Masters. Yeah. He lost
the PGA.
PGA.
Yeah.
But even the greats lose sometimes.
Well, and he had a blisty.
Well, yeah, you can't do anything with blisties. No. The blisty's good now, though? All healed up? He's ready to go?
I would assume so.
Yeah. It could have been a bad one. Who's your favorite to win?
Somehow in the back of my mind, I've been thinking Chris Goddard all week. He's not really well known, but he's won a couple times already this year. He's big and strong, and he can hit it a mile, but he does have a good short game.
Didn't you say he's from around there, too?
Yeah, New Jersey area.
Mm-hmm. So him being able to know what that wind's going to be, I'd imagine he's played this course. How difficult of a course, how difficult of a course is it to get on for guys of that stature even? I mean, is this an easy course to go play, or is it?
I believe it's a public course. I'm not 100% sure.
I think it's private.
Is it private? But the only things that I've seen is like I you are right because I've seen where the members they're talking about the conditions and the watering and all that where they have I believe it's 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. they water every day and like the PGA Tour pros are freaking out about it. So that does make more sense that it's member oriented. So I would assume it's probably just like any other private course.
Difficult
to play, but for a PGA Tour player they can. I mean,
they know people who know people.
Yeah, say I'd like to come play.
And if they're already qualified for the U.S. Open, they'll let them come and play practice rounds pretty much whenever they want.
Correct. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. This is going to be a very fun tournament on Father's Day weekend. Just watching it was Koepka that won it in 2018, one over. Which what won the Canadian Open last week, boys? Was it
14, 15?
15 under.
Yeah,
so,
it's one of the medium ones.
Yeah.
You see somewhere it's mid-20s to upper 20s across the PGA Tour now.
And now you're going to see somebody, I mean, just struggling to break par on this. It's gonna be an absolute blast out there.
Now, when you guys are talking about like the concerns over the course that it's just too complicated, stupid question alert, what do you do to essentially make it more playable?
You just water it. Don't mow it in the morning. But all you can do is, like, when a group goes off the green, have guys come up there with hoses and just water it down as best they can.
They widened the fairways a little bit since the last time they were there as well. So more angles into the green and stuff like that. But at a certain point, like, I would expect that tomorrow we're going to see a delay, like a pause. If those winds are consistently 50 miles an hour, I don't think that the players are going to want to be out there, first and foremost. If it was the Eaton Country Club, we'd still be doing men's league out there. But but here, like, these players, they're not going to want to play in that, I don't think.
Well, they probably won't want to, but if the ball rolls on its own from the wind, they'll postpone it.
That's the only way. It's not because they just don't want to be out there. They're like, I don't feel like playing anymore. Somebody stop this.
Yeah.
That's not available.
How do the golfers feel about this? Is this like, oh, no, this is a hell of a challenge. It's something unique, or do they hate doing this?
I think there's a combination of both.
Really?
Like you see consistently in U.S. Opens, there's some guys that are always – and harder golf courses, they're always usually on the top, and they kind of thrive on that adversity. And there's other ones who usually win the 23 under tournaments, and they don't sniff a U.S. Open.
Hmm. The mentally strong typically prevail in harder golf courses because it's just not your typical 6, 7, 8 unders that are easy, I guess, for them in those conditions. When it gets harder, it's just a mental grind. And it's going to play for an extended period of time. I mean, the rounds are going to be 5 hours plus. It's just going to – the harder the conditions get, the longer the rounds go, the harder it is to stay in that for that amount of time.
I mean, it's a par 72 out there. And, Brady, like, if I were to go play it from where they were playing it right now, like, I would be thrilled with anything under 200. I think I probably wouldn't even finish the round. It is just for the average golfer, and I'm a below-average golfer, but for an average golfer to go out there, I can't even wrap my head around the conditions that they're going to be in. And that's what makes the really excellent shots even more special when not everybody on the course is hitting them. That's what it's going to be. And so when you do see that big putt that goes in, or you do see that really good iron shot that hit it close, it feels extra special because nobody else on the course is doing it at that time.
A smart person once told me you can't do anything in the wind.
No.
So, yeah.
Don't go out there.
I believe that was Dustin that told you
that. He said that.
And
so I don't know.
But why did you say smart person?
Well, that's a very smart piece of advice.
Brilliant.
Yeah. All right. So I like bringing you guys in here, too, to go up against Tom. Who do you like in this, Tanner?
I went with Xander Schauffele this morning. I think he is just kind of a steady Eddie type of a guy. I don't think he's going to get too high or too low. And in the mental grind, I think he can handle it. So I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele.
Derbs?
I went Matt Fitzpatrick. Basically the same reasons. He's been excellent over the last 3 months. Good in the wind. He's won a U.S. Open before, so he knows what it takes. Matt Fitzpatrick was my guy.
How come nobody took J.J. Spahn in this? Was anybody surprised by this morning? I haven't seen or heard anything much about J.J. Spahn.
Did anybody take J.J. Spahn last year when he won?
That's true. That's
and what about Scottie Scheffler? Isn't he going for like the career Grand Slam here? Yeah, look at that.
I'm surprised nobody picked him, but he's been a little off this year.
Really?
I mean,
he's no Rory.
Off for him is... really, really good, but he just hasn't. He's like top tens, and he plays terrible the first round of every tournament he plays in.
Really?
Is he? And he's off in the afternoon tomorrow? No, early morning.
Yeah, he gets the good wave.
Yeah, that might be. Scotty might get it done, the career Grand Slam, because that Thursday, if they do have to play through that wind, there's going to be some real high scores tomorrow afternoon. So, yeah, I probably should have take Scotty. Would you like to take Scotty Scheffler?
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with, Rory McIlroy? We're going to go with him. I just have this feeling.
Do you think that he knows that you picked him again and that extra pressure might just be getting to him?
The word's getting out there that he's my guy. And so, yeah, that could definitely be affecting
him. I think he's too mentally weak to go. Wasn't you that said you didn't think he'd ever win another major again?
I did, and then he went and won one.
Yeah, he went and won the Masters like 4 days after you said that. Yeah. Maybe the stone cold worst golf take on this program. Brady doesn't know any other golfer other than Rory McIlroy.
I mean, I'm asking you guys how to make the ball go slower here. Yeah, that's a pretty bad...
It's actually a great question.
Mm-hmm. Here's a dumb question. Mm. Wind gusts. Is there any chance of, like, you get a guy up there and he's getting ready to golf, or he's getting ready to swing, does he slow down his process to try to maybe get a hit in between gusts at all? Do you see something like that?
I do that all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
So that wasn't a dumb question. That was actually a really good
question.
You
haven't asked a dumb question so far in this segment in the past 30 seconds.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question.
So how long, like, does that mess with you too mentally? Because you're obviously slowing down your process.
Right. Your normal pre-shot routine, you're standing up next to the ball, and then the wind gusts. You might pick the wrong club now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just wait 10 seconds and the wind will die down. So, yeah, it slows you down a little bit.
What is the timer for the shots on PGA?
They don't.
Oh, they don't?
It's just your group will be put on the clock if you get too far behind. So they
need a shot clock.
Yeah, they don't enforce that a whole heap load. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many variables in golf. So like Tom said, it's wrong clubs. It's gusts are way worse than sustained wind. Like if it was sustained going at, 35, 40 miles an hour, you just kind of,
you at least know. Yeah.
When it just comes up every now and then, I mean, you could full on hit the ball and then, 2 seconds later that gust hits it, that completely changes that shot. And it can go from a well-struck golf ball to something that is terrible. And now you're in that position of, now what do I do?
Mm. I think it's going to be fun to watch the caddy and golfer relationships this week as well. Especially we were talking this morning about the Scottie Scheffler and Ted Scott debacle that they got into. Scottie thought he hit the perfect shot and his caddy got the wind wrong of which way it was going. And apparently at Shinnecock, I mean, just one turn of a hole and the wind's coming from a completely different direction. It's going to be fun to see if there's any blowups on any caddies this week, which I would expect there would be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a normal occasion. It's just you don't see him front row like that Scotty Ted Scott one a whole lot. But you're going to see a lot of decisions next to the bag saying, okay, well, if it switches to this, then what do I do? This green, I can't hit it here. How do I get it to stay here? You're going to have a lot more thought process rather than just pick target, see target, hit. Like on some of the regular PGA Tour stops when just birdies are aplenty.
Well, it should be fascinating. Tom, always appreciate you popping by, man. I look forward to this.
Of course, anytime.
All right, my friend. We'll look to catch up with you soon, and good luck on your picks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Right. I'm going to be right. You're going to be wrong.
No, Rory's got it in the bag. Rory's he's built for this.
No.
He's built for the wind.
He's mentally unstable.
No,
he's Irish.
Yeah, he's Irish. It's windy there.
Yeah, but he...
He's used to it.
He's not. He doesn't have that fire anymore.
One with
like
the
Tom
wind.
Said, he's never going to win a major again. Right before he won the Masters.
Starting now.
Did you just say Fred Couples?
Yes.
You are the worst person that I know, and I don't think it's particularly close. Do you need somebody down in the golf pro shop at the Eat and Catch Club?
Can we
make a trade?
I'm good.
You send us David.
Yeah, trade.
You know, we Justin, you will trade you for Micah straight across.
We'll take as long anything. As I'm not there.
Yeah. Okay.
Even like a used, like an old broken shovel or something.
Tom is
how about a refrigerator that works?
Tom is the new producer of this program. So yeah. We made that trade.
Welcome to the party, Tom. It's going to be a lot of
fun. We've been looking for a while.
We've been searching. Are you a person? That's really it. That's your qualifications. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby.
Want to thank Renaissance Insurance for being a great sponsor of this show. Formed by two UNC Bears alumni over 20 years ago, Renaissance Insurance have always had our backs here in Northern Colorado. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs for Weld and Larimer County. They're also the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. That's Renaissance Insurance. Call Ryan today. If you're looking to make a switch, you need quotes, you just want to get more information, 970-674-8825. They have national resources, but a local touch. That's Renaissance Insurance, 1243 the time. Michael, the Rockies win last night. We get to win number 28. They beat the Cubs. They have a chance to win their second series against the Cubs in about a week here. I'm not so sure that's going to happen, but man, we got to talk about Cole Kerrig. This guy, I'm guessing it's going to slow down for him at some point, but you know, he didn't. He got on base last night. He was walked. To start his career, he started on June 9th against Chicago. He hits the triple. He also got the walk too. So second game for him. Did he have a hit in that? No, nothing in the second game. Two hits in the third game. Another hit. He has four home runs already three home runs already in his young career. Just playing basically a week now. And last night, he just made the huge play of center field, going up against the wall, going up against the vines, makes the catch. The guy's ridiculous. And the Rockies now kind of have some interesting decisions to make when it comes to their outfield. Because Cole Kerrig, who is, you know, he's a Swiss Army knife. He could play anywhere, but obviously a tremendous outfielder. Hearing that Charlie Condon is crushing it in AAA. Veen is knocking on the door again. Moniak, obviously, is kind of close to that all-star caliber player. Then you still have Doyle, McCarthy, Johnston, Beck, Thompson, and Freeman. All decent. I mean, our outfield is pretty damn good. And that's the thing, like, we're having these conversations about the Rockies that we weren't even close to having last year. Yeah, they're 28-46. It's not great. But this time last year, Michael, they were nowhere close to 28 games, 28 wins. They didn't get their, let's see here. They didn't get to 28 wins until the second half of the season.
Let's see. They got to 28 wins on July 28th. It's June 17th, Michael. Very important day. They got to 28 wins on July 28th, late in July.
And keep in mind that the Rockies are still considered not a very good team.
Yeah.
So that's how bad last year was.
Yeah, last year was awful. Last year was awful. But it does seem like this team's on the rise. And the bullpen was tremendous last night. If they can clean up that bullpen, if it wasn't for a scattered mess of a bullpen, we would seriously be looking at, I think, 10 more wins. There were several games. I think Spencer Smith of DNVR Rockies does his infuriating losses. Several games for the Rockies where they've got a lead going into the eighth or the ninth inning. And you know, good teams obviously find ways to win those, find ways to close those. But unfortunately, that's just not been the case for the Rockies. They're still figuring this thing out. I think better days are ahead for this Rockies team. And we hope that 30 wins are ahead. They play the Cubs tonight for the rubber match and then off tomorrow. So, you know, guaranteed to go at least another couple of days here, Mike. The key number is two. We need two more dubs until we can complete the Dirty 30 quest. And it's time. It's certainly feeling like time. I didn't shave last year until August. I didn't clean up until August. We're definitely going to do this before July.
You also started late.
We started like in June, maybe. The Rockies, I think, got 8 to 8 wins or something like that. And then the whole point was, you know, Tanner's like, I'm only going to shave every series win. And I was like trying to inject some excitement for my own brain into the Rockies. Seriously. And so I was like, you know what? We're doing it. Let's do it. And we did 35 last year.
You know, it would make baseball a lot more exciting.
If everybody did the hashtag Dirty 30.
No, if there were more bench clearing balls, brawls, maybe watch Dinger fight somebody.
No, it's not that baseball's not exciting. I mean, that's not my point. I'm just saying the Rockies were terrible, and there was no reason to be excited about it. I love watching a good baseball game.
It would still be exciting if you were like, you know what? I think my mascot can take your mascot.
Okay, Adam Silver. 12:48 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. Sean Keeler coming up in the next hour, Keeling Me Softly. Big season coming up for Bo Nix. Is he a $60 million quarterback? We're about to find out this season. Does he have a $60 million ankle? All that and more coming up next.
Beards are growing.
Growing, we do it every day.
When will the Rockies win 30? Track the Dirty 30 with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Getting pretty toasty out there. You don't want to be in a situation where you go inside after sweating your butt off and it's uncomfortable. The AC's not working. Lemons Heating and Cooling. That's the one to keep in mind. Maybe you don't have any issues now, but write them down because at some point you will. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com or you can call today 970-567-0798. All right, Mike, coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll obviously get to our clip of the day, and we'll talk to Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. His headline reads today, is Broncos Bo Nix a $60 million quarterback? We'll find out this season for better or worse. Nix's rookie contract expires next year. If Russell Wilson taught the Walton Penner Group anything, it's that pouring Patrick Mahomes money into a running quarterback who can't run anymore is a risky investment. So Sean is cautioning us right now about the potential big contract for Bo Nix coming up. We're already at that time. Can you believe that? We're getting close to having to make that decision. And it's an incredibly important season, not just for the Broncos, but for Bo Nix. All right, clip of the day coming up next. Keep it here on The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.